808 Anatoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
So good, just can't tell it all. Brought all of us from a mighty long way, in spite of ourselves. Thank God for each of you on the day. Always good to see Maureen in the back. Thank God for her presence. I always recognize her because she leaves the nursing facility and she makes sure she gets to church. And we thank God for her, that the Lord continues to strengthen her. Amen. However, we thank God for all of you. Amen. For being here. I want to call our attention today to the book of Acts. Chapter number one, and focus upon something that we seem to be forgetting. And I want to talk about focusing on the main duty of the church. Focusing on the main duty of the church. In this first chapter of Acts, we come from verse 1 through 8, but we only read verses 4 through 8. Everybody got to say amen. Amen. Anybody need some help, come to Sunday school and Bible study and all that. Amen. All right. And it reads, beginning at verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Old King James say, to the utmost parts of the earth. That's the same thing. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God our Father, we thank you for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And for a little while with your prayers, I want to talk from the subject, focusing on the main duty of the church. focusing on the main duty of the church. And so let me begin by asking, thank you, Ursus, what is, somebody may ask, what is the main duty of the church? Is it the assembly of the church for fellowship and worship? Is it coming to Bible study, Sunday school, and mission? Well, now, all of the just mentioned duties are important, and the Christian is commanded to do so, but it's not the main duty of the Christian. But they will instruct you on how to carry out the main duty of the church. And guess what? The main duty of the church is to witness. Because coming to church for Bible study, Sunday school, mission, worship would be meaningless if we never carry out the main duty of the church, and that is to go and witness to the world about Christ. However, many folk in the church think that witnessing is for the pastor, the mission department, the evangelistic team, and so forth. But my brothers and sisters, witnessing is an individual responsibility of every Christian. Note Jesus says here in verse 8 in the text, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Or simply put, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. What do you mean? Power to speak in tongues, power to shout, power to say no, but power to be a witness. And then you'll tell everybody about me, because you then will be my witness. My brothers and sisters, this is the main duty of the church, to be witnesses of the gospel. And so this text records our Lord's last meeting with his disciples while he was here on earth. But now before he leaves, he commands and commissions his men to reach the world with his message. He reminds them of what should be the central focus of their ministry. He reminds them that they are to keep their focus on the main duty of the church. But verse 6 and 7 reveal that before he could do this, he had to overcome some distractions, because the disciples wanted to talk about future things. In other words, Jesus is trying to conduct the world's first mission conference, and they want to turn it into a prophecy conference. They want to know if the time has come for Jesus to establish his kingdom here on earth. And so Jesus tells them that the times and seasons are not their concern, but their responsibility was to be faithful to him and work while they waited. And guess what? Nothing has changed. It's still the same today. Our duty is not to get caught up in future events or any other theological dispute that distracts us from our main focus, and that is to be a witness. And so we also need to be careful not to allow Satan to distract us from our very purpose for being left here in the world. My brothers and sisters, our duty is to be busy working for the Lord while we wait for his return. And as we wait, the duty is, according to verse 8, to be witnesses for him. In other words, Jesus here commands his disciples living in all ages or all time periods to be witnesses to the world of his gospel and his saving grace. Now, Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, he reveals to us what the gospel is. He says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to Scripture. And then we read in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. But now many believers disagree about how salvation takes place, but that doesn't change the gospel. And so people should be able to disagree about methods while embracing the same message. But verse 8 is very clear. Every believer is commissioned, commanded, and instructed to share the gospel with the lost world. because according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors to the world. And so let me share some of the qualities shared by all gospel witnesses. And my brothers and sisters, the text reminds us exactly what we're to be doing as we move through this world. Notice, if you will, this passage teaches us about the main thing that the church is to be doing. And so I want to examine with your prayers this passage and preach for a little while on focusing on the main duty of the church. Why do I say this is the main duty of the church? Well, I said because here is Jesus crucified and resurrected from the dead, and he's about to ascend to heaven. Now, he could have talked about anything in the world, but his last words were a command and a commission to share the gospel. And so if it was that important to him, it should be as equally important to us. And that's why the church needs to learn this lesson about focusing on the main duty of the church, and that is to witness for the Lord. But now, before we can do so, we must have the right message. Now, no, Jesus tells his men in the text that they are to witness, to be witnesses unto me, meaning Jesus is to be the sole focus of their message. And again, I say that hasn't changed. My brothers and sisters, we are to tell the world about him. We are not to talk about our lives, our beliefs, our denominations, our church, or our favorite preachers. Why is this? Because none of those things have saving power. But the message of the gospel has, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, according to Romans 1:16. And therefore, we are to tell the message of love, of his love, his death, and his resurrection. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We are to tell the world that Jesus will save anyone who comes to him by faith. And therefore, we are not sent to try and impress the world with our grasp of theology. Because many folk know the theories of theology, but they don't know Jesus. Many know all about the glories of heaven, but they are themselves headed to hell. Like the blind man, I'm sort of like him in John 9. I was blind, but now I see. And Jesus, I tell you, is the reason. And that's the message we are to serve, to share with the world. My brothers and sisters, our only mission is to point people to Jesus, because he is the only hope that the world has for being saved from eternal damnation. And that's why Jesus says in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we also read in Acts 4:12 that there is none other name under the heaven given among men by which we might be saved, and that name is Jesus. And then Paul told this Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Someone said that all we are is one beggar telling another beggar where to find some bread. And in our witness, the bread that we're talking about is Jesus, because he is the bread of life. Because he is the solution to the spiritual hunger of the world. In other words, I need to share with others what others have shared with me. And that's what Paul was telling young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:4. He said, and the thing that you have heard from me among many witnesses, he said, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so in focusing on the main duty of the church by being a witness for Christ, we must first of all have the right message. But secondly, we must have the right method. Now the word witness translates in the Greek martyrs. It refers to those who bear witness to the truth. Now it came to be used of those who bore the ultimate witness to the truth, of those who laid down their lives for the truth. Thus we get the English word martyr from this word. Now the issue is not myth and legend, but facts and truth, meaning Jesus is calling his people to tell others the truth about him. The word witness was used in biblical time just like it's used today. It speaks of those who testify in a court of law. A witness in a trial is called upon to tell what they have seen and what they know to be true. And in the same way today, God is calling his people to tell what they know and what they have seen to be true. And so let me ask you, do you know anything about Jesus? Has he done anything for you? Well, if the answer is yes to those questions, then that is what you are supposed to be telling the world. Do you know that God loved you? Then go tell the world. Do you know that you are saved? Then tell the world. Do you know how Jesus saves sinners? Then tell the world. Tell the world now that how God came into your life, how he lifted you up, how he saved your soul. Now we have some great examples in the Bible, such as Peter's first sermon on Pentecost after being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that 3,000 folk were saved, according to Acts 2, 14 through 41. And then Philip the deacon witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and the Ethiopian eunuch believed and was saved. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16 asked Paul and said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." But I don't have to go back in the Bible to find some examples. Just look around you, because there are some people at one time was lost, but they're saved now. Are you with me? I could just look out here and see it. Yes, Lord. All of us came from some questionable backgrounds. And there was a time in our lives when folk perhaps looked at you and say, "You'll never amount to anything." There were some folk who probably looked at you and say, "You are going to end up straight in hell." But look what God has done now. You are an example of the power of God. Oh, shucks, I like that. Well, and my brothers and sisters, that's why the Bible says honor Christ and let him be Lord of your life, and always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope. When is the last time you carried out the main duty of the church by witnessing somebody about the Lord? But now, to do so effectively, we must have the right message and the right method, as well as the fact that we must have the right mindset. Because the witness in a court of law is to testify to the judge and the jury. But to testify to Jesus Christ is to testify to the whole world. My brothers and sisters, this is a big task, so Jesus breaks it down for us. He says we are to begin close and then move out. He says we are to start in Jerusalem, which represents the home, and move on witnessing everywhere we go. Well, now most of us will not go to the end of the earth, but I guess what? You can serve in your Jerusalem, meaning you can witness to your family members. You can witness to your friends. You can witness to total strangers or anyone you meet anywhere you go. In other words, we are to always be on a mission for Jesus by telling a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. And if we get the opportunity to go to our Judea or Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, we should make good use of those doors, because everyone we meet is either a believer or they are in need of the gospel. And so let's tell them about our Savior. Let's share the glorious news that Jesus saved and will save all who come to him by faith. But the sad thing about it is that most believers will not talk to anyone who is outside of their comfort zone. They would visit friends and family and acquaintance, and they'd talk about everything but the Lord. Are you with me? But and many are afraid to share the gospel outside their own realm of safety. And as a result, most church members are not involved in any kind of evangelism because they have the mindset of my foe and no more. And when there is a whole world that must be reached with the gospel of grace. And all my brothers and sisters, if we really believe that people are heading to hell without Jesus, and if we really believe the gospel is for all men, then why aren't we doing more to get the gospel out to the world? Why aren't we telling a lost world that Jesus saves? Well, could it be that we really don't believe everything we claim we believe? Could it be that we are saved and satisfied? Could it be that we have lost our focus on the main duty of the church, and that of being a witness for Christ? Yes, we are preaching on the radio and at the internet every day, some on TV every Sunday, and those things are good, but guess what? This doesn't take away our individual responsibility to share the gospel with a lost world. Must have the right message, and we must have the right method, and we must have the right mindset. Well, finally, for anybody trying to take a nap, we must have the right muscle. In other words, in our message, it has to have power. If our methods are to be successful, if our mindset is ever to be what it ought to be, we're going to need some help outside of ourselves. And Jesus tells us in verse 8 that our help come from the Holy Ghost. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The people in the upper room were promised that the Spirit of God was coming, and that when he came, he would fill them with God's power, according to Luke 24:29. And when the power came on the day of Pentecost, those terrified disciples who had been hiding from the Jews in fear became bold preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, I say, Peter preached so powerful, had so much power in his preaching that 3,000 souls were saved that day. Well, what was it that made the difference? Was it their eloquence of speech? Was it his oratory? Was it his delivery? No. But what made the difference was the power of God on and in his life. Where did the power come from? It came from the fact that they were saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, but God's Spirit baptized each of us and made us part of the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, each drink from the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit came from the fact that they were prayed up and clean before, before God. He had come in and as cloven tongues of fire, and he had cleaned them up and had fixed them up and had washed them up and prepared them for ministry. It came because of the fact that they were united in love, heart, and purpose. According to Acts 2:1, they had all gathered in the upper room and they were there for one purpose and one purpose only. My brothers and sisters, that same power, I tell you, is available to us today. And if we're going to have the power of God on our witness, our words, and our works, we are going to have to get our lives in the kind of shape that the Lord can bless and that the Lord can use. Meaning we're going to have to get like the early church in Acts 2:42-47 that says they spent their time learning from the apostles. Like today, the preacher's job or the pastor's job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. They were like family to each other, fellowshipping and worshiping in love. They also broke bread and prayed. And when we do this, we will see the Lord pour out his power on our witness to the world. But until we do, we will only be spinning our wheels, and we will accomplish nothing for his glory. And I, my brothers and sisters, we need God's power on our lives as well as our church, because we will never enjoy his unction and power until our hearts are right with one another as well as with him. Meaning if you have a problem with a brother or sister in Christ and you haven't dealt with that issue biblically, that would be a hindrance to the power of God being manifested in your life. Now, somebody may wonder, well, Pastor, how does one deal with such an issue biblically? Well, we quoted that scripture in the church covenant every Lord's Supper that's found in Matthew 18, 15 through 7. And maybe you ought to read it sometime and find out what it says. Because if you have a secret sin buried in your life, it will be a hindrance to the power of God being manifested in you. And so we need to stop looking at others and deal with our own hearts. And when we do, we will get to where God wants us to be, and we can and will enjoy his power on our witness. And so as I try to move to the close, now that we know that the main duty of the church is individual witnessing, let me ask you then, what are you willing to change in your life so that you can be more effective as a witness? What are you willing to deal with so that the power of God will rest upon you? What price are you willing to pay for the touch of God on your life? How long has it been since you told someone about Jesus? And let me remind us that every one of us will have to give account of our witness to Jesus someday, according to Romans 14 and 12. The hour is late and the time to tell the world is now. And that's why Jesus said in John 9 and 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. He said, because the night comes when no man works. And so in closing, church, we have been distracted from our mission. And I think we all share some responsibility in that. But this is the hour to recapture our mission. This is the moment when the main duty of the church must become our focus once again. I know somebody may think, yes, I used to go out on the street and witness, with a group, and that's good. But the focus here is not on corporate evangelism, but on individual witnessing. Just think, if every born-again believer in the Mount Olive Baptist Church would witness to just one person and lead them to Christ or invite them to church, we wouldn't have room enough to hold them. And that's why it's time for us to deal with our personal issues and our personal sins so that we can have the power of God might rest on our lives and God might be pleased to save souls in this place. I tell you, it's time to obey his voice by telling somebody again. I say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Tell them that greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. Tell them that while we were yet sinners, Christ died that we might live. Tell somebody that not only did Christ die for our sins on the cross, but bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands that we might be saved. Go tell somebody that the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
tell them that Jesus is the only way that one can be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under the heaven by which we must be saved. Ain't God all right? Tell somebody that nobody is too far out that the Lord can't bring in, too low down that the Lord can't lift up, too messed up that the Lord can't fix up, too dirty that the blood of Christ can't wash them and make them clean. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself?